Here in the vineyard of my Lord, I love to live and labor and be obedient to my God until my dying hour. I love to see the lilies grow and hear them ascending.
The Lord will be with us this morning. I want to draw your attention to John chapter 10. The 11th verse of John chapter 10. The word of the Lord reads, I am the good shepherd. Whenever we read the word of the Lord and the scriptures tell us a definitive fact, I believe we do well to say amen and amen to what the scriptures tell us. This is a definitive fact. These words are in red, but we understand that this means that Jesus was speaking these words and he says, I am the good shepherd. And he could have ended that statement and his explanations right there. And I'd aim to tell you this morning that he would be every bit the good shepherd if he'd have stopped right there and would have not explained himself another word. He would have still been and he would still be the good shepherd. Because he says, I am the good shepherd. The scripture tells us that Jesus says that he is a lot of things. Says a few verses up that I am the door of the sheep.
Yeah.
Says in another place in the gospel according to John that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if all those statements were just left isolated and he didn't add any sort of explanation to them, I say to you by the authority of the Almighty God this morning in his word that they're every bit as true because Jesus said that's who he is. Who would we be to question what the Lord says he is? He says, I am the good shepherd. He is the way. He is all truth. He is life. There is no life outside of the Lord. There is no spiritual life separate from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life. Amen and amen. You remember what he said in John chapter 8, whenever he was disputing with the Pharisees, the Scripture says that before Abraham was, I am. That's what he said unto them. Man, I am eternal. And I want to tell you, before Abraham was, he was. Before Abraham was, I am. He was before Abraham. He's an eternal Son of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says here, I am the Good Shepherd. And if the Lord will be with us this morning, I want to look at some of the reasons why he does go into explaining unto us why he is that Good Shepherd. I believe he is a good shepherd. I can tell you this morning the reason why I believe he's good. Even before we can go into why he's the good shepherd, there's a reason why we need to understand before we ever even begin to comprehend why he's a good shepherd, is we need to know why he's good. He's good because he's God.
Yeah.
He's good because he's God. You remember the conversation that he had with the rich young ruler whenever the man came to Jesus and he said, "Good master."
Yeah.
"What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He asks the Lord a question, and the Lord answers him with a question. "Why callest thou me good?" You know, I've made this point before, but some of my fathers in the ministry, I call them looking for answers sometimes. And whenever I ask them the question, a lot of times they don't just respond immediately. They respond to my question with another question. And you say, what good does that do? Jesus used that tactic, and it is, think a little bit. In other words, I'm not just going to lay it on the table for you. I want you to think for just a minute about what you're asking. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good?" Because one of the things that he was pointing this rich young ruler to was, why would you even call me good? It's because I am God. There is none good save one, that is God. And God was in his midst at that very point in time whenever he asked that question. The reason why Jesus is good is because he's God. And he never left any doubt as to whether or not he was God. You see, a little bit later in this chapter, one of the things that we read is that these ones that he's talking to is that they took up stones to stone him. He said, "What good works do you stone me for?" And he said, "Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." You think Jesus left any doubt of who he was whenever he was speaking unto them? No, he was God. He wasn't God Junior. He wasn't anything less. He was God in their midst. And that's the reason why he's good. But I want to tell you the reason, not only why he's good, the reason why he's a good shepherd. One of the reasons why he's a good shepherd is because the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the first reason. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One of the reasons why he's good is because he is a shepherd that gave his life, giveth his life for his sheep. You see, there was a need. There was a flock of sheep that had gone astray. See, the Apostle Peter puts it this way. All we as sheep are going astray.
Yeah.
All we are sheep are going astray. But now are you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Who is that shepherd and bishop of our souls? Who is the overseer? Who is the one that tends unto the souls of God's sheep? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is him that we have returned unto. One of the reasons why he's a good shepherd is because he giveth his life for the sheep. The only way that those sheep could be returned is if a perfect sacrifice was made by this same one that is the shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there was only one way that those sheep could be returned into the fold. Is that somebody had to make a sacrifice for them. And the one that made a sacrifice for them couldn't just be any man. It had to be a man, but it couldn't just be any man. It had to be a man that was a particular man. And this particular man could not only be just a man, he had to be a man and he had to be God. And that means that made it a perfect role for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, but he's also a man. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. And because he is that good shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. He died for those that were his sheep. Gave his life for them. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, that a man would lay down his life for us." That's love. That's love. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died for his sheep. You know, notice what it didn't say that he did die for. You'll never read in Scripture that he died for a goat. No. You won't find it. I can save you some time. You know, there's some things that that if you'll pay careful attention sometimes to what's being said, it can save you some time. I can remember back in the conversations with someone that was trying to convince me that I needed to do something in order to go to heaven. And I asked them whenever we were in the midst of this conversation, I said, "Where do you read that in the Bible?" And oh, they hit it. And here they went and turned. And they stopped and they read a little bit there. And here they went and turned some more. And I said, "I can save you some time. There's nothing in there that says that there's anything required of me in order to enjoy my home in heaven, because the Scriptures tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ did it all, and all to Him I owe for my home in heaven. He's the one that did it all. I can save you some time. I can save you some time in regards to searching who it is that the Lord died for. Died for His sheep. He died for His children. He died for those whom the Lord gave Him. And the reason why He is the Good Shepherd is because He did give His life for the sheep. He did die for those that were the Lord's sheep. They would have always been His sheep." You know, some people will say, "Well, how do you label those that are His children that have not been given life? They're unregenerate sheep, but they're still His sheep." And every single one of them will be given life before they take their last breath here in this life. They're not a goat before they're made a sheep. They're just an unregenerate sheep. And every single one of them will be brought into the fold by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shepherd and bishop of their souls. They will be grafted in and brought to the place where the good shepherd will tend to their soul. I can tell you that. Oh, I'm thankful for the tending power of the shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be unto the Lord that He's never left that to be the responsibility of man, to tend to the souls of one of the Lord's sheep. That's God's responsibility. And He left it in the care of a hand that couldn't be any better, and that being the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. He's good because He giveth His life for the sheep. Not only does the Scripture tell us that He's good because He giveth His life for the sheep, He's good because He cares for those sheep. He cares for those sheep. See, He begins in the following verse after the one that I've read to you this morning to offer a contrast between a shepherd and a hireling. See, I grew up on a farm. Many of you know that. If you are here very often, you certainly know it, because I draw all kind of analogies from it. And I believe they'll work. I believe they'll fit. I believe they'll fit because of instances like this. When you're talking about shepherd and sheep, if you've ever tended to any sort of flock of anything, you can draw from your experience a lot of things that the Scripture teaches you to be true about God and His children. See, people ask me all the time, "Was it fun growing up on a farm?" No, it wasn't. I won't tell you that it never was, but I certainly am not going to lie to you and tell you it always was. I can tell you that. You know, one of the things that we learned to do is you had to have a laugh every once in a while. You had to, because it could get pretty miserable if you couldn't share a laugh with people that you were working with every once in a while. So one thing we did whenever we were baling hay is we'd pack our pockets full of hard persimmons, and my daddy would be up there on the tractor, and every once in a while we'd be going after it, and we'd just lob it up there every once in a while and hit him with it. We would go back to work, and you know, until he figured out what was going on, several times he thought something was going on with the tractor and that something was coming off of it. You know, when he'd look around, you have to do something in order to keep yourself occupied. Well, you know, whenever you're talking about farming, tending to a flock, one of the things that my daddy was never blessed to do, it didn't matter where we were going on vacation, he was never able to leave it. He couldn't leave it. And you say, "Well, hold on a minute. You said y'all left." Yeah, we'd leave, but there was a piece of him that was always there. He would always have to get up before all of us would be awake, and he would call back to whoever it was that was tending the farm in his absence to check on things. And it's because it didn't matter how responsible the person was that you left behind. It was not his. It belonged to my daddy, and his vested interest was there. And that meant his mind was always there and tending to the ones that were there. What I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, whenever it came to the tending of the sheep, He gave His life for the sheep, but He didn't just leave you under the care of an hireling. He still cares for you. In other words, He's still watching over you, keeping you, providing for you, giving you the things that you need. You know, the Scripture tells us that whenever we pray the model prayer, people call it the Lord's Prayer. Let's get the terminology right. Matthew chapter 6 is not the Lord's Prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus prayed. And there's other times where Jesus prayed, but John chapter 17 has the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, that is the sinner's prayer. That is not the Lord's Prayer. That is the sinner's prayer. That is what we pray unto God. And one of the things that we ask God to give us is, give us, Lord, our daily bread. You know, this day and time we're blessed. The Lord blesses us that we don't just have daily bread. We probably have a week's worth of supply, probably more, in our cupboards, in our home. But one of the things that we ought to do and we ought to continue to be mindful of is to remember the source of the blessings in which we have, and that we would ask the Lord to give us our daily bread and to give us the things that we stand in need of, for He what? Careth for you. Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5 to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. See, He says here in John chapter 10 verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I want to tell you, whenever it comes to the care of the Lord's sheep, our Lord is no hireling. Our Lord is the good shepherd. Our Lord is the one that cares for us. And I want to tell you, I believe we need Him every bit today. As much as the church has ever stood in need of the good shepherd, we stand in need of the Lord to care for us today. We stand in need of the Lord to identify the wolf. And whenever the wolf was identified, that the Lord would keep us from such and would watch over us and care for us in such a way. And I believe He does. I believe that the Lord is every bit involved in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. I believe that until He returns out of glory again, that the Lord is going to care for the people that are part of His sheepfold, for He careth for us. We stand in need of Him, don't we? We need Him to fend off the wolves. We need Him to bless the preaching of the gospel. You know, any minister that would make any sort of claim that he doesn't need the Lord to bless him to preach, it won't be long before he'll figure out just how bad he needs him.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's one way that the Lord cares for His sheep, is that He sends spiritual rain down from on high, and He blesses men to stand up before His people and declare His truths unto them, so that they would be edified, so that they would be fed and nourished and be able to make it out in this world. It's a way in which the Lord cares for His sheep. You know, one of the things I started trying to exercise and do a little better a few weeks ago. Some of y'all know that. And man, early on, I'm going to tell you, it was rough. And it still is most days, but it was really bad. It was really kind of embarrassing at times, and still is sometimes. But one of the things that the man told me that was trying to give me a help whenever I sort of reached a plateau is, he said, you know, most of what you're facing now is the reason why it's a challenge is because of what you're eating. Man, you're my friend until you said that. Now he's my enemy. He's coming after my groceries. Don't do that. That's the reason why I'm here, because I want to eat. But you know, I got to thinking about the spiritual application of that and the warfare that we fight in this world. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and you can see the outline of the soldiers in the army of God. And you can see that there are certain qualifications that those men had to meet in order to be able to fight the battle. What I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, one of the reasons why we can't fight the battles that we face is because of the stuff that we eat and that we consume in our eyes and ears, and that it infiltrates our brains. And you're saying, what are you talking about? I'm talking about all the other stuff that goes on in this world. See, a lot of people think that you can watch all the filth you want to, and as long as you come to the house of God on Sundays, it'll be just fine. That's not right. And no, I'm not becoming a legalist to you today and telling you to cut the TV wire. I'm just telling you that if you feed yourself with certain things, don't be surprised whenever the battle wears you out. But if you feed yourself with good things, if you feed yourself with the Word of God, if you're being fed with the truth of the preaching of the gospel, I tell you, it'll equip you for the warfare here in this world. And you won't wear out. And you won't tire. And it doesn't mean that you don't get at times where you feel like you're going to quit, but you'll have a little bit more energy to go a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. You know, that's really all we can ask in this world. That's really all we can ask. Because we won't ever get to a point where we won't have any more battles to fight. That point will come when you take your last breath here this side of glory. As long as you're alive in this world, there'll be battles to fight. But if you equip yourself with the preaching of the gospel, with the reading of His Word, and with the prayers of the saints of God, I believe that's evidence that the Lord is caring for His sheep. He's providing for His sheep. You know, He's also got a rod. And I tell you what, that rod can work on a wolf. A rod will work on a wolf. It can wear them out. It can reach out as far as the Lord's hand needs to in order to be able to keep what's necessary to keep away from his sheep. He's got a rod in his hand. You know, we had a stray dog show up here a few weeks ago. I don't know if y'all knew that. No, the old thing's gone off, but you know, I tried to use the old Southern draw of get out of him, you know, whenever I pulled up before anybody else was here. And it didn't work. It didn't work. It sort of trotted off a little bit and it came back. And I didn't know if the thing was going to bother these youngins or not. I didn't know what kind of dog it was. But I have a bat up under my back seat. And no, I didn't hit the dog, so you can take a deep breath. But all I did was get that bat out. And whenever I started at that dog with that bat, his trot got a little faster. he got a little bit fleet of foot. And no, it didn't finish him off. I'm just going to tell you that whenever you know that there's a rod after you, and those of us who needed a rod as a child, and yet we may have despised that rod whenever we were a child, whenever our parents placed it upon us, but oh, as we look back, aren't we thankful for the rod? Aren't we thankful that the rod was used when it was? And I tell you, if my parents would have known more than what they did, it would have been used more often than it was. It's not just used to make the wolf flee. It's used to keep the sheep in line. The rod of the Lord. And I want to tell you, whenever the rod is applied, we do well to say, Lord, thank you for chastening me. Thank you for making me a better person. Thank you for keeping me a part of the flock. You know, one of the things I mentioned a few weeks ago, you watch the Discovery Channel and you see the lions without the flock of zebras or gazelles or whatever it is that they're, you know, going after. And they just lie in wait out there in the middle of that grass. They're the same color as the grass. You can't see them. And you sit there and you watch for just a few minutes and all of a sudden the camera starts to pan to one of them little baby gazelles or baby zebras. And oh, my heart just pours out for that little thing. And I immediately start saying to myself, just get in the flock. Just get in the flock. But yet they still want to wander outside the flock. And guess which one gets taken by the lions? Is those that wander outside of the flock. Get in the flock. And that is, get under the care of where the shepherd's arm is. And it's in the flock, for He careth for you. I tell you, He still cares. When we pray to a God that cares. We pray to a God that sympathizes with you and your need. He cares. You ever spoken to somebody and while you were speaking to them, never get the impression they ever heard a word that you were saying? And yet they ask you the question of how you were doing. But yet while you're talking, you could just as well be speaking in Japanese, and whenever you get done, they'll just, you know, act like they heard every word you said, but they didn't hear any of it. But I want to tell you, whenever we talk to our Lord, He hears us. He knows of what your need is before you even make it known unto Him. But He cares for you. He is the good shepherd because He giveth His life for the sheep and He cares for those sheep that are His. Oh, the caring hand of the Lord. Another reason why He's the good shepherd is not only because He gave His life for him and He cares for him, but He knows him. See down in the next verse, He says in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows them. See, from time to time, we will be challenged with the responsibility to go and to check the calves. There'll be many times when being a 11, 12, 13, 14 year old boy told to either go get on a four wheeler or get in a truck to go check the cows. What do you think was more interesting to me? The concern of those of that herd or having an opportunity to drive something? You tell me. It wasn't the concern of those that herd. I remember one time me and my brother, we were charged with the responsibility to go and check them. And we had done it about 2 days in a row. And my daddy came the next day and he checked them. He came back and he said, I asked y'all if y'all checked that feeder down in the corral. And you said yes, that there was food in it. He said, how did you know there was food in it? And like I did many times, whenever Jack and I were given a responsibility, really it was just him that was given the responsibility. I was more or less there. If he told me to do something else, I would do it, but I was just kind of tagging along with him. And I remember he spoke up to Daddy and he said, because I looked at it. He said, you looked at it? He said, yeah. He said, well, you didn't see that they hadn't eaten any of it for the last 2 days. And the reason why they hadn't is because the lip of it had been ruined to the point where the aluminum was forming a curl in front of the feed. So if they'd have put their mouth in there to eat it, it would cut their mouth. And he said, I know it's been like that for a while because it's got the same amount of feed in it that I put in it 2 days ago. So what happened? He didn't check it. I didn't check it. But the shepherd checked it. The shepherd checked it. And whenever the scripture says that he knows it, the scripture says that Jesus knows these. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. In other words, I know everything about them. I know their number. He knows the number. The scripture says in John chapter 17, in that same prayer where I just mentioned the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You don't know that, you don't believe that Jesus knew everyone that he died for on the cross at Calvary, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He knows their number. He not only knows the number of the saints, he knows the number of the hairs on the head of every single one of those saints. A couple of years ago, if you get the tape of the Smoky Mountain meeting, you'll see where Brother Gary Hall got joking about bald-headed people. And Brother Gary's bald-headed, by the way. He wasn't just making fun, he was bald-headed. So there are certain jokes that some can tell and others can't tell. He could tell that. I don't know if y'all were there at that meeting or not, Brother Virgil, when they were mentioning that. But I want to tell you, the good shepherd not only knows the number of sheep, he knows the number of hairs on their head. He knows their name. You believe that this morning, whenever the scripture says that I am the good shepherd and I know mine, he knows not only how many there are, he knows their names. Because their names are somewhere. In order to believe that their names are in a place that only God knows, is there had to be some things that were done at a certain point in time before the foundation of the world, which is when that book was sealed. Their names are in the book of life, which was written before the foundation of the world. The Lord knows them. He knows the number of them. He knows the number of hairs on their head. He knows their names. Praise be unto the Lord that the Lord knows every single one of them. And the scripture says that He knows them that are His, and there's nothing that can be done to change the fact that they are His. Remember in the book of 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, the scripture says that Paul told Timothy that there was two named Hymenaeus and Philetus, and that their word doth eat as a canker. You ever had a canker sore? You familiar with it? It's old nasty sore. And that's what the theology was of these two men, because what they preached was that the resurrection was past already. Oh, to tell a little precious saint of God whose mind and whose heart is fixed on glory, it's already past. What if I were to stand up here before you this morning and declare that the resurrection is past already? You've already missed it. You know, that theology still exists, by the way, that there's going to be a rapture that comes and takes the righteous home, and then the rest will be left here. And you say, what do we use to dispute that? Is in order for that to be true, there would have to be three comings of the Lord and not two. And the Scripture plainly says that unto us that look for Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. There's only two. He's come one time. So that means there's only one more left. There can't be two more left. There's only got to be one more left. And in order for Him to come twice more, that means there's three. And Scripture won't support it. Won't support it. And the Scripture says that this man named Hymenaeus and Philetus, that they were preaching a theology that the resurrection was past already. And that it had overthrown the faith of some. Oh, to be frustrated because the faith in the work of God is overthrown by the theology of someone that has zero scriptural support for what they believe. You don't think it's important for us to be able to anchor our beliefs in the Scriptures? You better believe it is. There's a reason why it's our only rule of faith and practice, because whenever we declare something outside the bounds of it, that's exactly what can happen, is it can overthrow the faith of some. Overthrow them. You know, to hear that sort of thing, a lot of people would say, well, if their faith is overthrown, then that means their life has been overthrown. Their eternal life is no longer secure. If you think that your eternal life is based upon the exercise of your faith, then you got to believe that the eternal life of these that had their faith overthrown was no longer secure. I want to tell you, your eternal life is not based upon the exercise of your faith. Your eternal life is resting upon the exercise of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And He will never fail you. Your faith may be overthrown. His faithfulness will never be overthrown. Because the Scripture says in the context of this, of these ones that were preaching this theology, He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, He is the Good Shepherd because He knows them that are His. And not one thing can change the fact that they are His sheep and He is their shepherd.
Amen.
They will never wander outside the bounds of God's love. They will never wander outside the bounds of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the shepherd that gave His life for them. Never. Can't happen. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And I left out an important part of that verse. Having this seal. I want to tell you, it's based upon a signet and a seal that's been placed. It's based upon something that is sure. And that being the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I tell you, little Lamb of God, He's a good shepherd because He giveth His life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep and He knows them. Last reason. It says in verse 14, He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You know, any of these things that I've mentioned would have been, again, He could have said, I am the good shepherd, and not gone into any sort of description whatsoever as to why He's a good shepherd. He's simply the good shepherd. He could have said, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep, I care for them, and I know them, and still been the good shepherd. But look at the goodness of God that He reveals unto us, that He's given His life for us, that He's caring for us, that He knows us, and am known of mine. Every one of His sheep has had God revealed unto them and am known of mine. You know, sometimes, one of the things that we need to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth on is the teachings of God. We believe that there's a teaching that comes in the declaration of the gospel. And if a man is not apt to teach, then he shouldn't be a minister of the gospel, because one of his requirements is that he be apt to teach. Preaching is teaching. But I will say this, not all teaching is preaching. We need to understand that. Preaching is teaching, but not all teaching is preaching. There's a difference. There is a difference. And we believe that we learn about the ways of God through the preaching of the gospel. But do you think before a born-again child of God is exposed unto the gospel truth that they are void of any knowledge whatsoever of God? I do not believe that. Because I believe that God reveals Himself unto them in the new birth. The Scripture says that they shall all know Me from the least unto the greatest. Whenever the Lord gives life unto one of His darling children, there's some things that that child is exposed to and is given that never makes him the same again. He's given faith. Every born-again child of God is given a measure of faith. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit. He's given faith. He's given an innate knowledge of God and am known of Mine. You know, people say, well, to what magnitude? I can't answer that. The only thing I can tell you is that a man that has been given life from God is never the same again. You can't use terminology like totally depraved anymore to describe that man, because he's not totally depraved anymore. Now, he still has a nature within him that is corrupt, that is bad, that is Adamic. And if he feeds that more than he feeds the spiritual nature that is within him, yes, you'll see a bad person. But he's never the same again, because he's been given life from Almighty God. He's been changed within. He's been given the person of God and the Holy Spirit within him. And he knows God. He knows Him. You know, this analogy fits. I've said it many times, that the analogy of a child and its mother is a great way to look at the way that the child of God knows God. And a little child doesn't know about how he became to be in the world. He doesn't understand about all the actions that took place to bring it here. He doesn't have a whole lot of knowledge about his family. Can't even speak about it yet. But you tell me that he doesn't know the voice of his mother. Oh, they do. Oh, they do. You know, I remember when Billy was in his mother's womb, I'd read to him. Now, when you get up to a certain number, your attention is having to be focused on others, and I hadn't read the Abel much. But I can remember before Billy was born, when we started that yearly Bible reading, he was born in February. I had read him the book of Genesis and Exodus. I wanted him to know my voice when he came into this world. But you know, having traveled around with his mother for 40 weeks, oh, I want to tell you, a little child knows the voice of that mother, so that whenever they're born and that child is in distress, that mother can speak unto that child. And even though it's not in one of the supposed to be the more precious places for a child to be, is in the womb of its mother. What a comforting place for it to be. What a warming place for it to be. A place where its mother has its arms literally wrapped around it at all times. And there it is again, even though he may not be there, oh, he hears that voice. That baby hears that voice. And he can relate back to that place of comfort where it's in the loving bosom of its mother. And I want to tell you about a little Lamb of God. Is yes, they may be ignorant of a lot of spiritual things that you and I read in this Word, but I want to tell you, they know their Father. And the Scripture says that because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And that is that they can cry unto Him and they can be placed in that comforting place in His arms again. You know, I believe someone who is destitute of any biblical spiritual understanding or any gospel teaching whatsoever can still within himself see a need to praise God. speak to God, thank God. And I believe that the Scripture says here that the Lord is the good shepherd because He giveth His life for the sheep. He cares for them. He knows them. And He's made Himself known unto them and am known of mine. You know, the Lord's not only blessed you if you're here this morning to be able to, from an innate standpoint, know God because He taught you about Himself, revealed Himself unto you. And He's blessed you to come into spiritual contact with the gospel truth. Not all children of God enjoy that precious privilege. I'm of the mind that there's children of God all over this world. And some people say, what scripture do you give to say that they're all over this world? Because the scripture tells us, even in the same verse I quoted earlier from John chapter 17, when you read about the atoning blood and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read that it was applied to many. 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 Thou hast given Him power over all flesh to give eternal life to the few. But Thou hast given Him, is that what that verse says? Or does it say to His many? It says many. Came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for a few? No, for many.
Yeah.
Many.
Amen.
If the ones who have the blessed gospel truth are the only ones that the blood have been applied to, I'm sorry, but those verses would have to say a few. But there are verses that describe the ones who are faithful in the truth to being a few. But when it comes to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's applied to many. But if you've been blessed to come into connection with the truth, you're blessed to be able to have something that only a small percentage of God's children have been blessed to be able to be exposed to. And you say, well, what is that? Is that, you know, Brother Will, hearing that may make somebody feel high-minded. No, it ought to humble you. It ought to humble you. Because the Lord's blessed you to be able to have a little bit more. And it ought to make you more thankful. It ought to make you more gracious unto Him. But I want to tell you, our Lord is a good shepherd. And just because I'm not even going to go into that because I'll find myself chasing it and we're going to wind it down. Our Lord is a perfect shepherd. Everything He does is good. Everything He does is just right.
Amen.
Praise be unto the Lord that that's our God. We can look and we can read this verse and we can read these verses and we can say that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. I thank You for Your kind, sweet attention.
Amen.
Now in Thy praise eternal,
my love is precious, true love.
Jesus.